This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We'll visit with Republican political consultant Scott Wilfong and Democrat Lamar White, a prominent blogger. The Bayou Brief is where you find his work. They'll talk about Governor John Bel Edwards, who is pushing for an increase in minimum wage, but at the same time is pleasing some conservatives and catching the ire of some liberals by saying that he would sign a bill that would limit abortions to just 15 weeks of pregnancy. Also, Wilfong and White on the travails of one Donald John Trump, the President of the United States, who's fired his national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, and replaced him with the hawkish John Bolton. And yesterday, the markets didn't respond well to tariffs on China. We'll talk about that with Scott Wilfong and Lamar White. And Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief from The Advocate, on what happened at the session this week. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Your numbers are 297-5633 in Baton Rouge and anywhere else, 877-217-5757. You can also send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org. With us are Republican political consultant Scott Wilfong and Democratic blogger Lamar White, and they're going to talk about some matters both near and far. There is a regular session of the legislature that's ongoing, independent of the budget morass that continues at the Capitol. And we'll hear more about that from Mark Ballard in our final segment today. But come Tuesday, the full Senate will presumably vote, at least they'll debate, the merits of increasing the minimum wage in Louisiana from $7.25, the federal level, which the state views as its level right now, to $8.50, which is what the state of Arkansas has. We're one of only six states not to have a state minimum wage exceeding the federal level. And Lamar White, we'll start with you, the man from the Bayou Brief. Governor John Bel Edwards has tried twice before to get this done and has been unsuccessful. He's also, of course, in favor of bills that would have equal pay for men and women stipulated. Where does it stand now as far as how you see this debate going this year?
Thanks for having me on, Jim. I think that with respect to the minimum wage bill, it's unfortunate to say this, but I'm not sure that it has much of a chance to get out of the Senate into the House. Unfortunately, lobbies' influence over, I think that they're scoring this particular bill, and I think that their influence over this piece of legislation has held a lot of people captive, a lot of legislators captive. I do think, however, that the equal pay bills that came out of the Senate committee have a fighting chance, and so that's a silver lining. But it is somewhat disappointing that we can't raise our minimum wage to at least $8.50 an hour, which is still a pittance.
Scott Wilfong, your thoughts about increasing the minimum wage?
Well, it's good to be on with you, Jim, and hey, Lamar. I would just say it might sound a little strange coming from me, but I actually do favor Louisiana. I favor every state establishing a minimum wage because I think it seems a little silly to me to have a national minimum wage when economies and costs of living are so different across the country. I mean, try to go to San Francisco and live on $12 an hour. It's not going to work. So I actually think Louisiana should make a statement about what our minimum wage is. And I wish the national, the federal government would leave it alone. So, I think that Lamar's probably right. The bill probably doesn't have much chance of actually getting through. But it's one of those that I think with enough attempts, eventually, you will see the legislature adopt it. Probably not this year, but at some point in the next few years.
As we look ahead to next year, we're a year and just about a year and a half away from now. We'll have the October 12th primary for governor. And right now, Scott Wilfong, it appears Ralph Abraham, the congressman from North Louisiana, is making all the moves to run against John Bel Edwards. But the wild card continues to be John Neely Kennedy. What are your thoughts about where the governor's race stands and whether Governor Edwards is vulnerable to a Republican challenge?
Well, he's certainly vulnerable. The question, he continues to raise more and more money, which is making it a more and more daunting task to come along and match him. I like Ralph Abraham. I think he's doing what he would have to do being a congressman from, you know, the northeast corner of the state, even though he represents all the way down to Washington Parish. He's really unknown. He has to be running now. John Kennedy probably has, if not the highest, one of the top three highest name IDs in all of Louisiana. So I think Kennedy has the luxury of sitting back and waiting to see what happens. And, of course, he's sitting on enough money that, Kennedy will be able to raise what he needs quickly. So I think he's just waiting to see how everything shakes out. And Abraham's doing exactly what he needs to be doing if he's going to make a real run at this. And, I think it's good for the party at this point. And we'll see in 10 to 12 months, we'll see where we are. And I think the party will come together behind one of these two guys.
Do you think Governor Edwards is beatable?
He is beatable. Yes, he's absolutely beatable. I mean, this is a state that nearly 60% of the people voted for Donald Trump. If you think that that matches up well with a tax and spend liberal like John Bel Edwards, it doesn't. That being said, the governor is a competent leader. He's very gives a good image as governor, and it's hard to beat the power of the incumbency for any governor. But John Bel is a good leader, and he inspires confidence in a lot of people, but his policies are just disastrous for the state. So that's why it's going to take so much money to get voters off of him as the person and talk about his actual policies and how he's wrecking the state with what he's doing.
Well, in particular, what would you view as one of the policies that you say is disastrous?
Well, I mean, his overall attitude of we can't make do with what we have, we've got to raise taxes. I mean, that's just been the Louisiana way, I guess. But, I mean, he just seems completely unwilling to look at any cuts. I mean, I don't know if you saw the letter from Lance Harris talking about I think it was $150 million that could be used. And, I mean, it already are indications that he's just, absolutely not. We'll never do that. It's the Democrat Party. Too much is never enough.
All right. Lamar White, Scott gave you a lot to work with. He says Governor John Bel Edwards' policies are, quote, disastrous. Do you think that's the case?
Oh, absolutely not. And, I noticed, with all due respect to Scott, I noticed when you asked him to name a particular bill or a piece of legislation or policy that John Bel supported that he disagrees with, he sort of deflected on that. I would just say that I don't know what he's talking about with respect to the $150 million worth of revenue that the governor is ostensibly rejecting to accept. The truth of the matter is that we have about a $994 million fiscal cliff. The numbers don't lie. We have reduced taxes in Louisiana. The sales tax measure was supported by a majority of Republicans last year. So Republicans voted to increase taxes. I don't think we can continue to obfuscate and kick the can down the road. We've got to address this now. With all due respect to Representative Harris, I don't see any leadership coming out of the Republican Party right now in Louisiana. And I think that a number of members are frustrated. It is telling to me that Mr. Wilfong also recognizes the fact that people appreciate the governor's leadership, that appreciate him as someone who inspires confidence in Louisiana. And it's just unfortunate that the House is not cooperating with the governor in the way that they've done historically for many years in the past.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines in just a bit with Scott Wilfong and Lamar White. Now, the governor, he is generally popular among Democrats, and of course, he's underwater with Republicans. Not surprising that he's the only Democratic statewide elected official. But this week, he perhaps irritated some of his supporters, Lamar, when he said he would be inclined to sign a bill to prevent abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Does this have some political risk for him?
I doubt it. The governor campaigned as a pro-life candidate. I think that voters understood that he was pro-life when he ran. He ran a commercial about his daughter that really made a lot of headlines, put them on the map in many respects. So I don't think that this will really change many people's minds about the governor on the left. I would just say my hope is that even if his conscience, you know, requires him to sign this piece of legislation, I just hope that the state of Louisiana doesn't expend taxpayer money defending this piece of legislation, because I don't believe it's constitutional.
Well, Lamar White saying that this is not going to hurt the governor. Scott, your thoughts?
I mean, I think what it shows is the complete disconnect between the party the governor wants to be a part of, which, you know, I believe the Democrat Party would favor abortion up to like 5 days after delivery. So the 15 weeks thing, absolutely. Karen Carter Peterson and the wacko liberals in the legislature are going to just lose their minds if this bill actually gets through. I'm happy that the governor is staying true to what he promised when he ran, which is a pro-life candidate. But what a disconnect that is, that he can't even get the support of his own party on a common sense bill of, hey, you know, we want to limit abortions. We want to make them as rare as possible. No, the party that he's a part of wants them on demand and as many as we can get. So,
all right,
you know,
well,
that's where, is he beatable? Of course he's beatable, because he's a member of that party.
All right, well, the sponsor of the bill is also a Democrat, John Milkovich, a very conservative Democrat. Are you inviting Milkovich and Edwards to join the Republican fold, Scott?
I believe I have invited the senator on your show to join the Republican Party. I think Senator Milkovich is the best Democrat in the state.
All right, what about Governor Edwards? Would you be okay with him becoming a Republican?
If he is willing to take steps towards conservatism on his fiscal policies and his legislative priorities, I think the party would welcome it, absolutely.
All right, we'll be back after this brief pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. More time with Scott Wilfong on the right, Lamar White on the left. The Bayou Brief is where you can find out more about Lamar's reporting and that of his staff. And Scott Wilfong is one of the most prominent Republican political consultants in Louisiana, narrowly lost a race to become the party chair a few weeks ago. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on the air with Scott and Lamar.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I'm inviting our state and the whole country to take a new pledge. I think we should pledge to vote no for anyone who takes the Norquist pledge and no to anyone who takes funds from the NRA. It's just obstructionism going on in the state capitol, the same as going on in Washington.
All right. Well, many lawmakers have taken NRA money, including William Morgan Cassidy, our senior U.S. senator, who's taken $2.8 million in his career on Capitol Hill, which only spans a decade. Lamar White, is Senator Cassidy in the back pocket of the NRA, or is it just a case of the NRA supporting somebody who thinks the way it does?
I mean, I'm not sure that I would want to single out Senator Cassidy in particular. I think that the majority of the Republican Congress, the Republican Senate, are in the pockets of the NRA. I think that we saw this demonstrated only a few weeks ago after President of the United States essentially declared on national television that he was willing to create a ban for people under the age of 21 to purchase weapons, assault weapons, and then about a week later, reverse course due to the pressure of the NRA. So I agree with Phil. I mean, I think that we probably should put some pressure on politicians not to accept funding from the NRA. I don't think that they are a social advocacy group that does any good for American society. They're really a lobby for the gun manufacturers. That's it.
Scott, are you a member of the NRA?
Well, obviously I'm a life member of the NRA and big supporter, but I'd ask the caller if he's willing to extend that pledge to anyone that takes money from Planned Parenthood or supports Planned Parenthood, because, you know, they buy and sell baby parts. So I would hope that if we're going to, you know, start putting tests on all these groups, that the Democrats would certainly swear off Planned Parenthood, but I'll not hold my breath for that one.
All right.
Again, the NRA, it's an asinine argument that somehow we have a mass shooting where law enforcement, the school system, local officials, FBI, everyone drops the ball, but it's somehow a lobbying organization's fault. I'll even agree the NRA is largely a lobbying organization. They do stand up for gun rights. They do things like gun safety, but they do promote issues through Congress and through the state legislatures. But somehow all this is the NRA's fault. That's just illogical and asinine to even make that argument.
All right. A listener asks at talklouisiana.org about this bill that has cleared a House committee that would prevent gamblers from being ejected from casinos in Louisiana for being too skilled. Right now, if you beat the House too many times, they'll stop you at the door and tell you to go away. Scott, is that the American way?
Well, when we look at free enterprise and how it works, that a casino is, in the end, a private business that has a right to it, say who its customers are and aren't. I have a problem with not giving them that right. But I understand the emotion behind the bill, and I would say it probably has a good chance of passing.
All right. Well, this is one that may transcend political ideology. Lamar, how do you see this? If you go into a casino and you're probably pretty good at counting cards, you're a bright guy. If you beat the house and you win three or four times in a row, pretty big, you're on a list. And the list says, keep Lamar out of here. Is that okay, or should that be changed?
It should be changed. Absolutely, I agree with this bill. I think that some games in casinos are games of skill, and some are games of luck. Some games are a little bit of both. But, for example, poker, I do actually believe that poker is a game of skill. So I think that the notion that first of all, casinos are regulated by the government, and a lot of the revenue that they produce goes to the government. And I think that we've got a right to just say you can't kick people out because they're beating you at your own game. So,
all right. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Lamar and Scott.
Yeah, Mr. Wilfong, for the state minimum wage law that you espouse, will it take the next Republican governor to achieve it, since apparently the GOP legislators want to deny John Bel Edwards any kind of victory?
Scott?
I get that. I get that. And again, it's one of the things that I kind of lightly break with the party on. It's really the business lobby that's keeping this. I don't so much think that it's the party outright. It's lobby and the business groups that are afraid of this coming into place, because then you can't necessarily control it, and who's going to say, the legislature would be the ones to say the amount, but they're afraid it would get out of hand. I favor putting it in place because I think we as a state have more business saying what our minimum wage is than the federal government. So I don't really think it's about denying John Bel Edwards the victory. I think it's about responding to pressure from the interest groups.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we're off. Of course, going to talk about President Trump, and already there are a few inquiries about his liaison alleged with Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, the pride of Scotlandville Magnet High School class of 1978. This is something that, if it were any other president, might very well be the end of the trail for them, but with President Trump, there's so many other things going on, it's hard to keep track. Scott, is this potentially more damaging to the president than the Russia investigation?
It could have a little more staying power, possibly. The Russia investigation, as I've said before, when somebody finally shows some evidence, it'll be the first time they've ever shown any evidence. But Jim, just as an aside, isn't it amazing how many times Baton Rouge has a connection to these bad things? I mean, remember the sniper shooter a few years ago, and all these, it seems like we always wind up having a connection on these stories, and I just can't believe that even this one, here we are, the ladies from Baton Rouge. So, no, I don't think it's going to drive Trump out of office. We've already had a president that fooled around in the Oval Office and managed to skate by on that. So it'll embarrass him a little bit if it's true, but no, it won't be.
All right, Lamar, this is a porn star from Baton Rouge who, according to reports, once worked a stone's throw from WRKF at the adult club that is just right around the corner. She is now perhaps one of the most famous women in America, famous people in America. She'll be featured, it appears, on 60 Minutes this Sunday And the nation will be watching Stephanie Clifford, known as Stormy Daniels. What do you think of this story, Lamar White?
I mean, I just want to push back on this. I do not think Stormy Daniels is a bad story for Baton Rouge. I think that she's a hero for Baton Rouge. I think that what she's done in the last month and a half, I really do believe that she's being courageous in speaking out about this in defiance of probably an illegal non-disclosure agreement. And she's presented herself as pretty witty, a sophisticated player in the political arena, and I think she's someone to be proud of, actually. What I think about this, however, is that it's not going to end the presidency. We're looking at campaign finance violations at most. Whatever personal stuff is between him and his wife, but the real substantive stuff is about the Russia investigation collusion in the 2016 election.
But the former U.S. Senator from North Carolina, John Edwards, vice presidential nominee of the Democratic Party with John Kerry in 2004, he went to trial, could have gone to jail for something very similar, paying off a mistress.
He could have, and there was a mistrial in that case. He was... The jury was hung on, I think, 8 of 9 counts. They only rendered an acquittal on one of those counts. This case against Trump, vis-a-vis, Stephanie Clifford or Stormy Daniels, I think she's gone by Stormy most of her adult life, is much, much more damning than the case against John Edwards. I think that it's a much more cut and dry case.
877-217-5757 is your number. We're going to take a short news break with Adam Voss, and we'll return and hear more from Lamar White and Scott Wilfong on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. 877-217-5757 is your number. Lamar White and Scott Wilfong are with us, and if you'd like to get in, there is opportunity this segment locally, 297-5633, and you can send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Please make your remarks brief. David in Atlanta. Good morning, David. You're on the air with Scott and Lamar. Hi, David.
Hi. I'd like to first wish all of the Trump supporters a Stephanie Clifford stormy weather weekend. And, a playmate was on CNN last night. She said she had unprotected sex with the president for 10 months, and Stephanie Clifford said she had unprotected sex, a porno star. I'd like to ask Mr. Wilfong, what type of monster would have unprotected sex with loose women and have marital relations with the mother of his child?
All right. Is that a fair question, Scott Wilfong?
Part of that sounds like you're describing Bill Clinton, our former president.
We're talking about Mr. Trump right now.
Well, I understand, but there was a statement made that we're proud of Stormy Daniels. I would wonder, are we proud of Paula Jones and Jennifer Flowers and Kathleen Willey and those women who told the stories about Bill Clinton raping them? Because the most I've heard is consensual sex between Trump and any of these women, whereas Bill Clinton was actually accused of rape. I wonder if the liberals
Donald Trump has been accused by about 20 women of sexual assault. Lamar, am I right about that?
Yeah, you are right about that. I think that there's pending lawsuits about this. So I'm not really sure, Scott, what your point is or why you're digressing about Bill Clinton here.
All right. Now, Nathan writes about your statement earlier saying that Democrats would be in favor of abortion 5 days after birth, I think is what you said, Scott. He's asking if you're going to take that statement back. Were you exaggerating, or do you really believe that?
I think Democrats and liberals, let me say liberals, because not all Democrats are for abortion, but I think the National Party would take abortion as much as they could get. Yes, that was facetious, 5 days after delivery. That's murder, but of course, any abortion is murder, in my opinion. So, I think that the party is for abortion on demand as much as they can get, as often as they can get.
All right. Lamar, your thoughts?
I mean, with respect to his comments, I just don't know what to say. I mean, Casey v. Planned Parenthood, the Supreme Court case, lays out the guidelines for abortion, and right now we know it's the point of viability. Viability is about 20 weeks, 21 weeks. So a 15-week ban would be unconstitutional. I don't want to get into, you know, hyperbole about this with Scott.
All right. Ann on Blue Bonnet. Good morning, Ann. Thank you for calling. You're on the air with Mr. Wilfong and Mr. White.
Yes, good morning. And I wish that you had a woman giving her perspective on this, so that's why I called in. Mr. Wilfong makes me sick when he tries to dodge the question about Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is not a decent person. He has sex with multiple women right after his wife has given birth. What kind of father is that? What kind of person does that? He offers to pay these women for sex. It's just disgusting. It makes my stomach churn to think that we have a leader in our country that's like that. And don't deflect it by blaming somebody else. Yeah, sure, there are other people that are bad, but we are talking about our president, and it makes me sick. And Mr. Wilfong, you need to comment on what you think about Mr. Trump's behavior. It's not a little embarrassment that can be laughed off. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Scott, your response, please.
Well, I'm actually impressed that this caller somehow has the absolute truth on these allegations. I was unaware that these had been proven and accepted as gospel fact.
Well, Stormy Daniels has passed a lie detector test,
which is not admissible in court. Even the courts don't allow a lie detector.
And President Trump attacks all these people by tweeting, but he has never said a word about the allegations from Miss Stormy Daniels.
I mean, where do you want to go with that? It's an allegation of a porn star against the President of the United States. I think you can see the incentive for that. She's talking about making... The reason she wanted to give back $130,000.
Well, why was she paid $130,000? Why was she paid $130,000 not to talk? By Mr. Trump's lawyer.
Wealthy people settle lawsuits all the time without admitting anything. It is a common practice in business.
I don't think there was any lawsuit. She was just paid $130,000 in October of 2016, less than a month before the election, not to tell her story. If she is not telling the truth, then why would the president and his lawyer be afraid of her coming forward and telling a lie?
Well, I think you're missing a key point here. The reason she's trying to invalidate that agreement is that it was never signed by Donald Trump. There's actually evidence to indicate the lawyer acted unilaterally without the president's consent.
All right. Do you believe that, Lamar White, that the lawyer was freelancing and paid this lady, Stephanie Clifford, $130,000 without any kind of input from the president?
Absolutely not. Clearly, the president had say-so over this, and there's a reason he hasn't spoken about Stormy Daniels, and it's a little disingenuous and intellectually dishonest for Mr. Wilfong to, on one hand, claim that all of these accusations against President Clinton as gospel truth, and on the other hand, defend Donald Trump against, you know, he clearly has contracts with these women not to talk. So, no, I don't. With the irony to me, by the way, is that if Donald Trump had paid Stormy Daniels directly, it wouldn't implicate a number of campaign finance violations that are now implicated. So if he just fessed up to this, he would not be in the legal jeopardy that he's in right now.
All right. President Trump has named John Bolton, a hardline former ambassador to the United Nations, as his third national security advisor. He's fired H.R. McMaster. What are your thoughts about the continuing revolving door and the move forward of Mr. Bolton, who's regarded as one of the hawks? He's at times advocated war by the United States against Iran and North Korea. Is this a prudent move by the president, Mr. White?
Well, I guess I'm happy that Trump appointed John Bolton, because perhaps no other person in America deserves the ultimate humiliation that Trump will eventually provide this man with. I mean, seriously, though, I think there's a reason people are genuinely concerned about the president's well-being and his health, and this is an erratic decision. It seems like he's picking his cabinet based on who he sees on Fox News. And, you know, I know that John Bolton was an ambassador before, but there's a bipartisan consensus against this man. So I'm not really sure why he would choose this guy.
Scott, do you like Mr. Bolton?
Yeah, the thing with John Bolton, this is probably actually the best spot for him. There were some indications, Lamar is right, there was some bipartisan opposition to him as ambassador. But as national security advisor, his basic job is to advise the president, and the president can take the advice or not take the advice. You can't question Bolton's knowledge. You can't question his experience. He clearly has the credentials to hold this job. I think it's fine. I don't know why McMaster was out, but I think putting Bolton in is a fine move for the president. It's actually probably the best fit for John Bolton.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up slightly this morning after losing 724 points yesterday when President Trump put China squarely in his crosshairs, imposing tariffs, as much as $60 billion worth of Chinese goods to combat the rising threat from a nation that the president has called an economic enemy. Was this a good move, Scott Wilfong, for the president to take aim at China in this way?
I think it was. I think, I'll go back and actually defend. I defended Barack Obama when he passed Obamacare in the sense that he promised it, he campaigned on it, and he delivered on it. Donald Trump campaigned for over a year about fixing these bad trade deals and taking on the bad trade that we have as a country. This is what he's doing. Even if you don't like it, you can't fault him for following through on what he promised to do. And the markets don't like it, but they're going to get, the markets don't like uncertainty. Once this is passed, they're going to recover. It's just a nervous stomach for the market right now.
Lamar White, is this potentially going to cause a market to crater, or is Scott right? Is this just one of those bumps in the road that inevitably happens when the market is going up, as it has under the first year and 2 months of President Trump?
So Scott has agreed with me a couple of times, so I will return the favor and agree with him on this. I actually believe that China has been ripping off America's intellectual property, probably to the tune of about $60 billion a year, and that maybe there is a time to put your foot on sand or draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. And I do think that the stock market is not the economy. So I do believe it's going to be a temporary glitch, a temporary loss in the market that ultimately will recover.
All right. We only have about 20 seconds for each of you. But as far as the Russia investigation with Robert Mueller, is it going to pick up steam, or is it running out of gas, Lamar White?
It's going to pick up steam. We've already seen multiple indictments. I think that the president is next.
All right. The president indicted. That's what Lamar White is predicting. Again, Scott, do you see it that way?
When the first evidence comes out, it'll be the first. And, of course, not. It's going nowhere. It'll be over with by summer.
All right. Well, John Dowd resigned yesterday as President Trump's lead lawyer for the special counsel investigation, as the president signaled that he is prepared to ignore Dowd's advice and perhaps have a sit down with investigators. After days of uncertainty among the president's lawyers, Mr. Dowd broke with the president over whether he should agree to be questioned over the inquiry. Thanks, Scott Wilfong. Thanks, Lamar White. And coming next, we'll visit with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. We're back after this brief timeout on 89.3 WRKL. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Becca Dill and Ali Baltazar producing, and your number for a final segment with Mark Ballard is 877-217-5757. That's 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard is at the Capitol, and a few matters that are important to mention before we get to some of the bills that are percolating. Yesterday, there was a move outside the Capitol that has caught the fancy of many in Baton Rouge on whether the zoo, the East Baton Rouge Parish Zoo, should move from its facility in Baker. And the headline in today's Advocate, Mark, is Zoo Staying Put. Some call the Capitol where you are a zoo, but the one that's been part of Baton Rouge for many, many years looks like it's going to stay where it is, at least for the immediate future.
They seem to have gotten an awful lot of pushback from the folks that live around the zoo, saying that they want to keep it up in North Baton Rouge. though I understand that the zoo has plenty of statistics and studies that show that most of the people that go to the zoo live in South Baton Rouge, and they feel like maybe that might be a better way to go. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen now. There were a couple of bills here in the legislature that were going to try to block that as well. So
right now it's staying where it is, and that's one less bill to answer. Now, State Representative Denise Marcel, who ran for mayor a few years ago and finished third in the race with the winner, Sharon Weston Broome and Bodie White, she collapsed at the Capitol yesterday, and this is a lady who has a pacemaker. She's 57 years old. She's acknowledged on this program that she was once stabbed in the heart by a husband of hers. She is apparently recovering, but this is serious business, Mark.
It was, and it caused an awful lot of worry here at the Capitol yesterday when it happened. She basically felt pains in her chest and went into an anteroom that they use kind of to have coffee and to kind of get out of the way, and collapsed in there and caused some of the other representatives in there to run out looking for doctors. And she was removed from the Capitol by ambulance. It went to Baton Rouge General, where apparently they're doing tests on her. She'll be there for a few days, from what we hear. And they're doing tests to try to find out, you know, what caused yesterday's problem.
Well, we wish the very best to see Denise Marcel. Now, she has been outspoken, as have others in this community, about the Alton Sterling case, which is now nearly 2 years old. It was July 5th of 2016 that this man was killed outside the Triple S Food Mart. And there are all kinds of rumors that an announcement on that case is coming soon from the Attorney General Jeff Landry. What do you hear, Mark?
I hear those same rumors that he's going to be coming out with a report, and whether or not he is going to recommend criminally charging the police officers involved. And everybody's just kind of waiting to see what happens. We're here within the next couple of days up to about 2 weeks is what we're hearing here at the Capitol.
We talked earlier with our guests about the minimum wage measure that the full Senate is slated to debate on Tuesday. Governor Edwards is sticking to his guns on this one despite losing the battle the last 2 years. Many believe that this is once again a case of the governor losing a battle to LABI. Is there any momentum picking up on this, or is this going to be dead on arrival, Mark Ballard?
Well, whether it makes it through the House, I mean, through the Senate or not is the question. It may possibly make it through the Senate, but he has said he's going to keep going at it. As long as he's governor, he's going to run that play again. And I have no doubts about that. If it makes it through the Senate, it will probably die in the House.
Well, it would seem a lot of difficulty in the House, but if it makes it through the Senate, at least there will be a robust debate about it. What about equal pay? Is that possibly a case in which lawmakers could split the baby and say, okay, we'll do equal pay, but we won't increase the minimum wage, or are both of them dead again?
Well, I think both of them are dead. The equal pay, and basically what it does is it allows basically allows sort of a procedure for you to find out if you're being paid equally among your colleagues, and then a procedure for addressing that issue. So it's not, you know, a flat equal pay statement. It has made it out of the Senate only to die over in the House Labor Committee, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if that happens again.
All right. The Max Groover Act cleared a House committee this week. It would increase the penalty for hazing to 5 years if a victim dies or suffers serious injuries. This bill drew Hiller Moore, the DA from Baton Rouge, to a committee room. Does it have momentum?
Yeah, I think this one will probably make it through. There is a lot of momentum on it. The no votes that are coming are basically, you know, whether they are too harsh on the fraternities who could be charged in this, the actual national fraternities. But I think that the momentum is going for this one to make it through.
Here's a remark about the budget situation from Jabari Robinson. He writes, I hear a lot of pro-cut rhetoric, but what people don't seem to understand is that cuts cost something. When you cut budgets, you cut services. When you don't fix roads, you pay in car repair. When you cut education, your best and brightest leave, the jobs of the future don't come, and you're left behind. Failure to invest costs you your future. This is an ongoing debate at the Capitol, isn't it?
It is, and I mean, he's basically detailing one side of the argument. The other side is that we spend too much, and we can balance the budget through cuts. There was, interestingly, an LSU State of the State survey that came out this morning that basically found that a majority, well, slightly, you know, 53-54%, would agree with the we can fix this through cuts. The problem is that every time they go to try to cut something, there's an outcry for it, and then they reverse that. So cuts, but cut what exactly? You know, mm-hmm. I'm good at cutting your programs, Jim, but leave mine alone.
That's the old Russell Long axiom, right?
Yes, indeed.
Don't tax me, don't tax you, tax the man behind the tree, yeah. Okay, well, the Senate committee approved a bill this week to let voters junk Louisiana's non-unanimous jury law. Louisiana's one of two states, Oregon being the other, not requiring a unanimous verdict in felony cases. You can be convicted of a felony with two of the 10 jurors saying you're innocent. What's going to happen here?
This one is also going to have a tough road to hoe. They're basically arguing is that many of the felons that end up going to prison are going to prison on split jury verdicts, majority jury verdicts. And the argument is that if they can't get a unanimous verdict, as is in most states, then they should, you know, try again, or the prosecutors should try again, or the guy should get off. But there is a lot of opposition to that. I don't think it's going to make it through, frankly. But
a House committee, the insurance panel, has moved a bill to require pharmacists to inform customers about prescription costs and if the drugs can be found at a cheaper rate. This is a bill that is a consumer bill, obviously, but it's going to have some pushback. And if it clears another legislative hurdle, we're going to have a robust debate about this one, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. There's a number of states around the country that are looking at just this issue specifically. What happens is you have these companies that negotiate the drug prices, and part of their contract with the pharmacies to sell them these drugs is that they don't talk to the customers about how much the drug actually costs. And they want to be released from that particular ban on what they call a gag on talking to their customers about the costs of it. The industry put up a game fight, though it made it through the insurance committee, and we'll have to see how it does on the floor. But I imagine that it's not going to go quietly by the side.
Now, this weekend in Washington, there are many people who are going to be protesting gun laws in this country. The Louisiana legislature certainly is in the middle of this debate as well. And Governor Edwards is kind of playing a wait-and-see, taking a wait-and-see approach, and he, on the record, is pro-gun. He says, we're working with all of the stakeholder groups and coming up with a comprehensive school safety proposal going forward. What do you think about this debate in Louisiana right now, Mark Ballard?
I lost you for part of that, I think that the debate is going to follow pretty much what we saw in Florida this week, and that is that they'll be pushing for teachers to have guns, but no significant bans on, like, assault rifles and that sort of thing.
Louisiana is a state that it would seem would be well behind the others in any kind of gun regulation reform.
I think, yeah, not just Louisiana, but throughout the Deep South is just will not make my, changes to the gun laws.
Well, Mark Ballard, we'll let you get back to work at the Capitol. Thanks for joining us. We'll be calling on you again next week. Thank you, my friend.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks.
See you soon. We're back Monday, same time, same place, for Becca Dill and Ali Baltazar. I'm Jim Inkster. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.